What's up, guys? Alex Contreras alongside Anthony Red Garcia. Welcome back to another episode of Marlins Barbecue. Red, talk to me about last night. How'd you feel?
The Marlins played the Braves last night, guys. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you watched the game. It was a heartbreaker, but I think we have to remind ourselves a little bit that it just is an exhibition game. It's one of those things that we've seen the story before. You know, Marlins have a 7-1 lead, 6-2, 7-3, and they blow it late in the innings. It's frustrating, but we saw so much good yesterday, and I think we need to remind ourselves of that. The starters dominated, and that's what's important, because guess what, guys? Those are the guys who are going to play. Some of the young guys flashed, and that's important, guys, because guess who's coming up? All that stuff in the middle, let's not worry about it too much. But without further ado, Alex, let's jump right in. Tell me what you think and tell me, you know, what did you see last night?
Well, man, first and foremost, I felt like a little five-year-old kid waiting for Christmas. Like, literally, I was so excited. I the anticipation. I know not only for me, but like many other Marlins fans and baseball fans around the world, man, I know there was a lot of joy felt seeing baseball come back to life. That being said, man, that third inning, the Marlins hit back-to-back-to-back jacks. Holy cow. Marlins Twitter went crazy. Braves was awfully quiet. And I don't know, man. I just went on Twitter, and I felt good, and I just started tweeting. I started, you know what I'm saying, tweeting away, saying, hey, the fish are out and about, baby. And it came back and haunted me, you know. The bullpen imploded, just like you were talking about the other day. You were worried about it, and here we are now, man, talking about a 10-9 loss in Atlanta, man. We just got some bad luck in the A.
Yeah, man. And again, like, we'll get into the pitching in a little bit because I did see stuff last night that I've never seen, you know, that I hadn't seen previous from relievers. So it's a good and a bad thing. And we'll touch up on some of my pet peeves that I see. You know, a point of the show, guys, has always been to not necessarily be statistical based and more like the eye test, and which is also a name that I thought we were going to call the show at one point, but Marlins Barbecue just fit. So I'll get into some of that stuff in a little bit, but first, guys, Alex, I got to ask, who stood out to you last night hitting? Did you like the lineup? I know Twitter kind of thinks my lineup's better, but we'll talk about that next week when the poll's done. Did you like the lineup? Did you like where everybody was hitting? Would you change anything? Whose approach did you like? What did you see yesterday from our hitters?
Well, man, the lineup Don Mattingly put together was Villar, Anderson, Dickerson, Aguilar, Cooper, Ramirez, Diaz, Alfaro, Rojas. I think he was checking out Marlins Barbecue, to be honest, man. And you definitely won that pull in a landslide. I was most impressed by the guy we were talking about, Jonathan Villar. We were talking about, how does this guy steal a base, man? And it's all about the base jump, man. He got a good jump, a good read. And I'm excited that the guy not only stole a base, but he also hit the last home run out of the back-to-back-to-back, man. How exciting was that, man? How did you feel, Red, when you saw those back-to-back-to-backs?
And now back to the top for VR, who sends one deep out to center. And Ciarte runs out of room in the...
There I was just feeding my newborn baby when it happened. And I told my wife, I was like, I don't remember the last time I've seen this happen. And then somebody tweeted right away that that's the first time it's ever happened. It doesn't count for the Marlins history books because it doesn't count as a game. But, man, I'm impressed. I mean, I think we were last in home runs, last in launch angle. And all of a sudden, you know, we hit, even if it's guys, it's just a practice game, but still it was against major league pitching. It was against the Braves' number three starter. Don't get that confused. We weren't facing a minor leaguer. We weren't facing a guy trying to make this rotation. No, this guy is going to be their number three. So, and our regulars, by all accounts, smacked the shit out of the Braves last night. And that's what I loved. Aguiar was the one that impressed me the most, man. In spring training, I even told you episode one, I was like, man, is this guy even going to make the team? You know, I don't see, you know, why not give the spot to a young guy? And man, when that guy comes up to bat, he's a force and you could feel it, you know, and he hits the ball, he smacks it. I haven't felt that way about somebody coming up since maybe Stanton. So, man, this lineup is extended. Alfaro hitting eighth? Come on, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like, I feel the Marlins lineup is pretty depth. It's pretty deep. You know, like, you got to like this team compared to last year's team. Like, the vets that they brought in this year, Corey Dickerson, you know, Jesus Aguilar, you touched base on him. Like, people don't talk about this enough, but Jesus Aguilar, last season, it was 2019. In the 2018 to 2019 season, he wanted to go play winter ball. And a lot of these guys like to go play winter ball, go back to their home country and do it for the home fans, right? You know what I'm saying? Where you started everything, your craft. And that takes a lot of energy out of you. Like, think about it. It's a 162-game season. Then you go to Venezuela or wherever you go to play the winter league. And you play the game a certain amount of games there, whether it's 40, whether it's 60, you know, it might be less, but you still, you're involved with the travel and all that, and that drains you. And that affected Jesus Aguilar in the 2019 season. That's why he put such low numbers. When we saw him at the beginning of spring training 1.0, man, I was very excited because this guy, he shed some pounds. He was excited, and he just carried himself a different way. Keep in mind, guys, I wasn't in Milwaukee to see how he was on a day-to-day basis, but just seeing how he carried himself, that body language that he has being here in Miami Marlin, you'd love to see it. And he's being embraced by the South Florida community, and I think he likes being able to be in Miami and go to Doral and eat an arepa at Pepito's. And just, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of the advantages that these Latin players love. Like, you got to love this community, like the multicultural community that we have here in South Florida. And that's the beauty of it. Like, not only for Latin players, not only for Venezuelan players, like Dominican players. Like, look at all the Latin players the Marlins have on this team, and it's only fitting. Like, we're Latin America's team. Like, I really feel like we're the international squad of MLB.
Right. And the beautiful thing is, too, is that when these guys, you know, there has to be some type of comfort level when you play. And like you said, man, you're going to tell me that some of these Latin guys feel more comfortable in Milwaukee than in Miami? Come on, man. And not only that, let's not forget that Aguilar, by all accounts, thinned out this season, this offseason. He's moving better. His at-bats since spring training and now again yesterday have been a sight to see. And I'm happy. I'm thrilled with the signing, and I'm going to redact my statement that he's not going to make the team. I think he's here, and I think they even said yesterday during the game that he might be here a few seasons. This isn't a 1-year deal necessarily. He still has arbitration available. So let's see what happens with him, man. I'm interested. Besides the regulars, we saw Chisholm, we saw Sanchez, we saw Lewin Diaz, we saw Cervelli, who captured the hearts of Marlins Twitter, and we saw Harrison. Cervelli's not a prospect, by the way. I just randomly came across his name. But out of the prospects, who impressed you the most? I mean, they only got really one at bat, but who were you happy to see the most?
Yo, did you see the light tower blast that Jesus Sanchez hit? Holy cow, dog. I went to go grab some food. Like, I was watching on TV, and I was like, all right, let me go get some food, whatever. And then, like, on the radio, like, I hear the whole implosion. I'm thinking, I'm like, damn. All right. So all of a sudden, like, I hear Dave Van Horn going, the ball is going up, up, and away. Sanchez with a home run.
It is up, up, and away.
I'm like, holy cow, Sanchez. And I'm thinking, Sanchez, Sanchez, Sanchez. And I'm thinking for a second, I'm like, yo, who the hell is Sanchez? And I forgot, yo, that it's Jesus Sanchez, our prospect. Like, it takes a second. Guys, we got so many prospects. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my wife was looking at me. She was like, who's Sanchez? And I was like, Jesus Sanchez, man. It's the guy we traded, Trevor Richard. So it was just funny, like, the joy at the house, at the crib, man. We were watching baseball. Yeah. There was joy. It was like, man, we're up. And then it was just so funny how we just made a complete turnaround.
No, my wife was cracking up because she follows the Marlins, but she doesn't follow the prospects. And she was, hey, because every time a prospect would come up to hit, I'd be like, hey, this is one of our future guys. This is one of our future guys. And she's like, are they all lefty? And I guess, like, there's like three of the four that we saw last night hit from the left side. You know, Chisholm had an at-bat. I believe he struck out. Sanchez hit that bomb. Lewin Diaz, I believe, struck out as well in that ninth. Harrison hit a shot right back to the pitcher. It was one of those do or die for the pitcher, and he got it. But don't be mistaken. He got all of it. But besides that, man, any final thoughts on the hitters?
Man, I'm just excited that we had one, two, three, four multi-hit games, you know. Villar had a multi-hit, he had three hits. Aguiar had two. Rojas had a couple. Alfaro had a couple. Like, man, I feel like I'm telling you, bro. We're talking about Alfaro. We were talking about Alfaro and Anderson, perennial all-stars that they're in the cusp. Like, this is great because you talked about, yeah, Alfaro's batting eighth. Ideally, like, in my lineup, I would have had him higher. But, dude, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If he's going to bat 286, he's going to be higher, batting higher. He's going to be batting, like, comfortable. He feels no pressure down there. And so be it, dude. Some guys, it's like a mental thing. I'm not saying that this is the situation with Alfaro. I'm just saying some guys have a mental chip in their head that they can't get it to click because they have too much pressure that they're the number four hitter or they're the number three. Like for me, when I used to play baseball, I couldn't like – I used to be like off the chain good batter when I was the number two hitter or the number five hitter. Like if they moved me anywhere else, I would like get out of my element. I'd be trying to do too much. So like sometimes it's just – a matter of finding that comfort zone and like the manager seeing it and like if this is it right now, so be it, man. Let's do it. Let's see Jorge Alfaro really turn it up. I don't know what they're gonna do to hold them down in the future though, but let's keep it coming.
The final thoughts on the hitters, just a quick thing I just saw here. I don't know if this is correct, but the Marlins left 17 people on base last night. Now it wasn't for a lack of trying. We did have 14 hits and three solo home runs, but 17 people left on base is still, I mean, guys got on. And you didn't see that last year, guys. You didn't see people getting on base. You didn't see, you know, I mean, Anderson by himself left four people on base. You know that's not going to happen once he gets going. And you could tell he was frustrated. Last night, he was all over a pitch. He missed it. I think he grounded out to third. And walking back to the dugout, he told somebody in the dugout, like, I don't know how I missed that. So he's all right, guys. He'll figure it out. All right, next to pitchers. Urania went three innings, two hits, no one runs, two base on balls, and one strikeout. I think this is probably the ceiling for Urania. You know, this is the guy that's, you know, Jacqueline Clyde. You know, it's either this or, you know, seven runs in an inning. So I think he did great. What do you see out of the starter? And tell me a little bit about that Acuna pitch that got away.
Oh, man. How like I was super amped up to see Jose. He looked like he was mid-season form. A couple of notes on Jose. He changed up his pitching mechanics a little bit. He's not going from the full windup. Now he's just pitching from the stretch. He's going with the four-seamer. That four-seamer is straight, gassy, throwing 96, 97. Like he was just dialing it up, man. He had some good location. The umpire squeezed him a couple of times on the walk. That walk they gave Acuna, they squeezed him because it was a pitch before, a couple pitches before. Urania made a hell of a pitcher's pitch on the outside corner of fastball, and the blue didn't give it to him. So he got squeezed, but hey, that's part of the ball game. I loved what I saw out of him, and. The best is just to come. Like he's really the bulldog of this rotation. Even though he didn't get the opening day nod, Sandy earned it. Jose is a great number three hitter. Like he's been a great leader for this rotation for the young guys. I mean, he's really the oldest cat in the rotation. He got to the point where he was like, all right, now it's my turn to really like show the next generation. And he's not even the older guy like that. He's what, a couple years older than the rest of the guys. So I really like how he continues to blossom. As a pitcher, and like it's so funny how he's grown. Like he's much more bulkier now than he was when we first saw him. Like when he made his debut in the Dodgers, bro, he was like a skinny Juan Pierre looking guy. And now he's like brolic. Like whoa,
yeah, and his hair is longer. The bullpen looked good last night by all accounts, guys. You know, Yimmy did his thing, Kinsler did his thing. Brigham gave up a home run, but an earned run, but man, like his stuff's electric. This is actually the first time I've ever seen Nider pitch. I know he's a top prospect, but I just don't go around to looking at, you know,
prospects. What you think about his windup?
I like the little twitch. I like that little
deceptive. It's hard to pick up like last second.
I noticed, and some going, this is going to throw into the Conley conversation, but Nider throws slower than Conley. I believe Nider was sitting around 92 where Conley was sitting around 95. And Nider was throwing the ball by people and they couldn't – it was the most uncomfortable at bats. Yet Conley, who's throwing harder, you know, he can't fool anybody. And that goes back to the secondary pitches. You know, Duggar had this issue too, and so did Conley, where they can't they're not throwing the ball past anybody. Their secondary stuff wasn't working, and people are just sitting fastball. And you throw a fastball down the middle to any major leaguer, he's going to hit it 400 feet. So now to Conley. We talked about this in previous episodes. I just don't see a situation where he is around much longer. Especially with guys like Vesia, who pitched last night. Vesia was also the first time I've seen him pitch. I believe you said he was going to be your rookie of the year.
He's a candidate for sure. Candidate,
right? Especially with him. And then you got your lefties already. You got Tarpley. Right, Vesia. And then Kinsler actually pitches great against lefties. So you have that those guys. How do you put in a guy like Conley? I mean, in a regular game, guys, he would have never have stayed out there that long. But you still let him stay out there. I believe Don was thinking, you know, Mattingly was saying, let's see if he could work his way out of this. Let's see if he can work out of trouble. But if you can't put in Conley to face two lefties in a row and with one out, face the two lefties that are coming up. Yeah, there's runners on base, but you're out of the bullpen. Chances are that's the situation you're going to come into. And he can't get any of those lefties out. And not only that, he walks them both. You know, that can't happen, man. Like we've said a million times, this is a sprint. This isn't a marathon. This isn't, hey, let's get hot. No, this is, you got to come out hot. And losing a game last night like that, because one guy couldn't do his job, that's not going to cut it this season. That's my thoughts on that. And another thing too, you know, I'm more of the eye test type of guy. Like I said, Conley used to have something where he used to go at the hitters. Now it looks like he's trying to pitch around everybody. It's almost like that scene in a major league where they're like, you used to go out there and just let it rip. And now you're trying to like hit the corners and stuff. That doesn't work. You know, I'm not saying Conley's secondary stuff is bad, but it wasn't working. And yet he decides, hey, let's just throw fastballs down the middle. I believe he had an 0-2 count and he threw a meatball right down the middle, 96 miles per hour, and it was destroyed. So that's my thoughts on Conley. I don't think he's here for the long haul. I don't think he makes the team past Friday. What do you think? And I mean, I don't know. I didn't like what I saw last night.
Man, just looking at it, I feel a little bit sad because Adam Conley's been part of this original Marlins core that we were talking about on last episode involving like Mickey Rowe and B.A. and Urania. And a lot of people forget that this was a guy that had so much high potential, such a high ceiling. We talked about that no-hitter he took deep into Milwaukee. And people don't talk about when Jose Fernandez passed away that this was the guy that took the ball. And then that night, something clicked in him too, and I feel like he did a great job pitching. But I don't know, man. I just feel like we just lost him somewhere along the way. And sometimes, like, these are great guys that you wish them best, and sometimes what they need is a change of scenery, you know? Like, you don't want him to be like, hey, he's not going to be a major leaguer. Nah. You know, maybe it's not working here in Miami. Maybe we should flip him somewhere. And we send them out to, you know, Seattle or somewhere in the West Coast or the Central, and, you know, somewhere close to home. And maybe that'll be more fitting for him.
Right. I agree with you. And I understand the emotional connection. I do. But at the same time, emotional connections is what's gotten the Marlins in trouble in the past. You know, when we gave Prado that contract right after Jose died, there's no way Prado should have. I mean, he was playing better back then and then he got hurt, all the injuries. But you know, those type of emotional decisions are usually what lead to slowing down the team's progress. I'd rather see Duggar, who by all accounts got destroyed last night too. I'd rather see him have that spot than Conley, because at least we've never seen Duggar, you know, to an extended point. Conley, it's more of the same from last year. He's lost whatever it was that he had. I hope him the best, but I, like you said, man, I think his time in Miami's done, and I think he needs a change of scenery. Would we be able to trade him? Probably not. We'd probably have to release him from the 60-man. He'd have to clear waivers. Will someone claim him? I don't think
so. I think so. I think somebody will roll the dice. Like, I mean, you could have made the same argument.
Like, maybe someone who needs a lefty. Maybe. You know, roll the dice, see what happens. But remember, then they got to add him to the 60. They're going to have to remove somebody. So this season's interesting. This season is weird with all the types of moves you could do.
Are we jumping as fans? Are we jumping the trigger? Is this going to be like – it's going to be an emotional roller coaster the whole season, huh? It's going to be like we're going to praise the guys that did good and the guys that didn't, show out the day of? We're just gonna kill him the next day. Is that what Twitter? Is that how it's gonna roll? So.
I think with the sprint, Michael Hook coming out saying "Why not us?" got everybody pumped. Man, you saw Marlins Twitter last night, man. When we were winning, bro, that's the Marlins Twitter that's been dormant for so long. And with all like with respect to Conley, it's not like this is his first outing. You know, his spring, I'm not sure it was good. It wasn't great, but it was okay. But last year was the same thing. I'm surprised we didn't see Steckenrider last night. Is he healthy? Is he pitching? We'll probably see him tonight. Boxberger came out and did good. And Vesia, what are your thoughts on Vesia's outing?
Hey man, Vesia finally gave up a run after so many innings. I think he had like over 40 innings together that included like independent ball, single A, and minor leagues, and now spring training. But ultimately, those stats aren't going to count for him. But you know, like you can't get mad at the boy. Like he was eventually going to give up a run. So it just so happened to be that it happened on this night where we imploded. You know. Duggar right. Conley imploded, and you know Vesia had to take the L at the end of the day. But I'm not worried about it, man. It's an exhibition game. It's the first game back after almost what 3-4 months locked up at the house, not doing anything, just warming up, training by themselves. I'm actually very content that these guys, man, they looked like they were fit, like they like what I said about Urania. He was mid season form, and to go back to the question that I forgot to answer. About the pitch to Acuña, How did I feel about it? I mean, it's only fitting. It's so funny. Like it was a breaking pitch. You saw Acuña's reaction. Yeah, he was cracking up. Like you know what I mean? Like Acuña, like the fans would have killed the Urania. They would have booed his ass out. but it was just fun. Like to see that the guys, like the body language. You saw the body language between them. Like you know, it's friendly and you know, like no harm, no foul. So
yeah, and Urania did say he said something like when right after the at-bat, and Acuña laughed. So, guys, most of these guys are friends off the field. I'm sure – I'm not saying Urania and Acuña are best friends, but I'm sure he reached out to him and said, bro, look, I didn't do it on purpose. Like, my bad. But, yeah, and going back to Vesia, the home run he gave up, it was against a professional hitter.
Another chance for Matt Adams against a lefty. I remember when he was slugging all those home runs – like that, driven deep to right field, and Matt Adams walks us off.
There you go. We don't have to worry about it.
You know, that guy's been doing that to everybody for a long time. Man, let me tell you, though, I like Vesia. He's twitchy. He's like he's hyper on the mound, and I love that. I think that he let that get away from him a little bit because he was going right after guys. I think he threw someone 3 straight fastballs, and they didn't touch him. And then finally in the against Adams, you know, he threw one too many fastballs, and it got crushed. But
and he still got a 1.35 ERA at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. That was just – you could tell he even – like, once the ball was hit, he even said to himself, like, damn it. Like, but besides that, you know, there wasn't too much – besides Conley and Duggar, the bullpen looked fantastic. There wasn't too much to complain about. I actually am impressed by Yimmy. He went out there, and he was like, this is my inning. I would love to see him in the eighth, cancel in the ninth. You get the ball to the eighth and ninth, and we're looking pretty good, guys.
Shout out to Don Mattingly. Mattingly made that Yimmy Garcia signing happen. And he voiced his expression and said, "Hey, Yimmy, like I got confidence in the guy. Let's bring him to Miami. Look at him, bro. Yimmy, right. Like if you get that confidence into a player, bro, I can't even tell you. Like that's clutch."
Right. Yeah. Hey, this is my guy. Let's go get him. That's for Yimmy. That's huge. And I think Yimmy could be here for a while too. All right, Alex, final game thoughts.
Final game thoughts, man. I'm excited. I loved how the offense came out swinging. We connected for 14 hits. At the end of the day, we were 4-for-13 with runners in scoring position. But, yeah, there was a lot of excitement, and it ended up frustrating because we blew it in the eighth. But, hey. Today is clean slate, baby. Don't worry about it. Remember, these guys are making tweaks. Little stumbles are going to happen, and you want those stumbles to happen right now in the exhibition games that don't matter. All right. Remember, the Miami Marlins are not going to go 60-0, but they are going to go and be competitive. And these are going to be a lot of fun games during this season, man. And I can't wait for exhibition two.
Yeah, my final game thoughts have to do with the young guys. And this might be the old, you know, baseball approaching me. But some of these guys that I – some stuff I saw on the field yesterday, and this goes on to – this might be a little bit of a rant about Sierra. Man, I understand he's out of options. I understand speed, whatever. But yesterday, that ball that was hitting the gap, if your thing is speed, how do you not cut off that ball? He ran a horrible angle to it. The commentators said it immediately after it happened. And then when he goes to throw it in, he misses his cutoff, and Jazz has to try to make an acrobatic play. You know, you're trying to make a team. You took a spot away, technically, from Harrison. I understand that Harrison, they want him to hit every day. I get it. They don't want him to be the fourth outfielder. But at the end of the day, man, you're a professional athlete, and you're trying to make a team. You haven't proved anything to anyone, and yet you're going to run the wrong – you know, you're going to run a horrible route to a ball. Then you're not going to hit your cutoff, man. And then you're going to strike out – looking to end the inning. I'm over the Sierra train too. I prefer that spot go to someone else, even if it's a vet. I don't care. I understand the Harrison thing, but come on, man. You're professional. Go out there and perform like a professional.
I just feel like I feel your rant, but why was he out there in left field? He should have been out there in center, to be honest with you. Like, it's harder for him. Like, yeah, he took a bad route, but I feel like maybe like not a left-handed outfielder, maybe a right-handed. Like, if you would have just had maybe Monte there and you swapped him, I think Monte would have made the play. Like, you know what I mean?
With 100%.
With the bounce. The
ball, but he would have ran the right, you know, right path, you know?
Yeah. But, well, man, it's just first game. Let's not, you know what I'm saying? Let's give Magnieri some time. He's going to get it. Maybe he'll steal a couple bases and get your attention.
We'll see. All right, guys, before we wrap this up, tonight's game well, it's actually in a few hours by the time you listen to this. 4 p.m. start. We're back in Atlanta. Marlins and Braves. We got Lopez on the bump versus Wright. What do you want to see from Lopez, and what do you want to see from the team tonight?
I want Pablo to finish his little tune-up. Last time I saw him at Marlins Park, he looked pretty much ready to go. You know, he's going to be working on location, 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 because that's what every pitcher does. All right, it's not about being a thrower, it's about being a pitcher, and Pablo Lopez is figuring it out. He's finally figuring out the major league level. I'm excited because the Atlanta Braves, you know, we're going to take this game from them, and we're going to move on to Philadelphia. We're one game closer to COVID season starting, man, and exhibition's out the door, and spring training 2.0 is over, summer camp is over, and we're going to see our boys play, man. It's going to be the moment of truth, man. I can't believe it, man. It's been raining all week. But I just look at it, it's like it's raining baseball, baby.
Speaking of rain, Atlanta, get a roof. we got this beautiful ballpark with a roof, and these boys are playing in a storm out there. Come on, man.
Qué clase puntería la de nosotros, man.
Come on, yo, man. Get a roof. You guys just got a new stadium. You couldn't put a roof on that thing?
Murphy's Law, bro. It's crazy. It's crazy. Something can't go wrong, it will go wrong.
What a disaster Atlanta is. All right, guys. That wraps up today. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, rate, review the show. Alex, where can we find you? And guys, real quick, you can find me on Twitter mainly ranting about Marlins and then being upset that they lose and I stop tweeting. Red_Garcia. Alex, where can we find you on all your social media platforms?
Find me at The Real Akon on Twitter and Instagram and at Talk Baseball on TikTok. Thank you so much for the support, guys. Marlins Barbecue is buzzing. All right. Let's, matter of fact, let's go put some sausages on the grill and let's pop open a couple Marlins lagers and let's watch Pablito, baby, on Pablo Day. Let's go,
Fish. Wait, let's do it. Guys, make sure to check out Fish Stripes. Follow Fish Stripes on all the social media sites and go fish.
Cue the music, Eli.